Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You done fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Paul, and their dog Ninja.
And sometimes their cat Freddy. But never the ferrets.
Hey, yeah. This is Tommy Chong. Right now you're listening to the Hillbilly Horror Stories. Ooh, gotta listen to them.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 357 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, we start off the same way every single episode, and we're going to start off the same way tonight because I can't see it ever ending.
Nope.
Thank you to all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks to everything you guys, gals, and service animals do for us.
Amen, brother. We pray for you guys every single day. And can't not thank you enough for all that you do for all of us.
All right. Also, we want to bring up, you know, Father's Day's coming up. It's another one of those holidays to where people struggle. You've maybe don't have your father with you anymore.
I struggle every year.
And, you know, it's something that people, it just brings the good times that you have with your father even near and dear, more near and dear to your heart than what it normally is when Father's Day approaches. So we just know there are going to be people that are going to be struggling with that, as along with everything else that they might be struggling with in life. So we just want to make sure that people realize if you need to talk to somebody, we're there for you.
Always there for you guys. Reach out to the group, call Jerry or I, either one. And also you can do the crisis hotline at 988. You can text us 741-741. Always, always, always somebody here for you guys, day or night. It doesn't matter. Please reach out.
Tracy, we've got a fun episode today.
Well, good.
We're going to venture outside of the United States, which is always a good time.
Okay.
You don't need a passport either.
So groovy.
You can listen to this show without a passport.
Oh.
We've got Jackie Johnson on. Those of you who came to the Indianapolis area, the Lebanon, Indiana show at the Boone County Jail distillery. Mm-hmm. You probably got a chance to meet Jackie. She was stood up and talked to the crowd a little bit.
She is a bundle of joy.
She is.
Like, literally a bundle of joy. I've never seen anyone so excited, just happy-go-lucky, and just amazing. She's an amazing person, and I'm really honored. I feel honored to know her and have her as a friend now.
Absolutely. And she stood up and told a bunch of ghost stories and stuff, but you know what? If you weren't there, you didn't get to hear it. So I thought it'd be fun to bring her on the show and share some of those stories with us. So that's what we're going to do.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
She also shared some distilling secrets that I had no clue about the process and stuff. So if you like that kind of stuff, you might find this fascinating.
Oh, nice.
All right. What else do we got? All kinds of cool stuff. So right after we finish this episode, in between the story that we're going to share, and then in between Jackie coming on with her stories, we've got a bunch of new developing news. So stay tight, listen. We've got show updates. We've got stuff about a possible new addition to the family. Well, not possible. What's happening?
I'm not pregnant. I am not.
Yeah, not that addition. So, yeah, but we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about, and some stuff you might not think is so fun, but just some updates that need to be taken care of. So we ready to get started?
Let's go, doll.
Tracy, when we talk about the world's most haunted cities, I think it's fair to say that London, England is either at the very top of that list or pretty damn close.
Sure it is. But I have to take everybody's word for it, since I've not been there.
Now, we've covered a few of these locations, such as the Tower of London, 50 Berkeley Square, and, of course, the Grenadier, which was the bar that we covered. And we've covered a much, you know, many more topics than that from London. But that's just three that come to the top of my mind. So today we're going to discuss the St. James Palace. The palace is just north of Old St. James Park, which, by the way, is also haunted. And it'll probably creep its way into another story somewhere in the future. They got a couple of haunted parks right there in London. But we're not going to touch on those today. The St. James Palace is said to be haunted by one of London's most grisly ghosts, the spirit of a man whose throat has been slashed wide open.
They were probably trying to get his grace.
You and your supernatural jokes. You would an angel. All right, so let's talk a little bit about history. The palace was on the order of the one and only King Henry VIII. Now, this was put on land, to get this, that originally housed the St. James Hospital for Lepers.
Oh.
So I guess they figured they didn't need that anymore, you know, with, you know, leprosy not being as big.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, but I would think in this time, leprosy was probably still pretty big.
It probably was.
But they decided, you know, bad hell with them people.
Oh.
We need this palace here.
Well, that's a terrible thought.
It's actually played a huge role in English history ever since that it was built. This is where Anne Boleyn stayed the night after she was crowned queen. It was also where Mary Tudor signed the treaty that surrendered Calais back in 1558. It's also the location that Queen Elizabeth I rode out to address the troops when the Spanish Armada was threatening the English shores.
You go, girl.
Bunch of good stuff there. Queen Victoria actually began a new tradition by opting to live at the St. James Palace rather than Buckingham Palace.
Really? Well, how come?
I don't know. Maybe she liked it better. Maybe she liked the furnishings better. I don't know.
Oh.
The St. James Palace remains a residence of the sovereign, which is why ambassadors from foreign powers are still formally credited to the court of St. James.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. There was a fire back in 1809, and it destroyed a huge part of the palace. So most has been rebuilt. Parts of the original red brick still remain, and that's how you can tell the older part from the newer part.
Okay.
Even though the newer part was still in the early 1800s. It's still been a while. So this includes the Tudor Gatehouse that stands at the southern end of St. James Street. St. James is a busy working palace, and it's not open to the public. So you can go by and walk by and see the outside, but you can't get inside.
I wonder why they don't do that.
Because it's a working place. So it'd be like
going
to the White House.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, they do give tours of the White House, but I mean, so it's probably not the best example.
Oh, that's true.
be like going to, you know, some of these other buildings that are just like a government building, like a Social Security building, and giving tours or something.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't be very exciting.
Right. Yeah. That would be fun. With so much history, it's not much of a surprise that there are ghostly tales here. And one of them goes all the way back to the early 19th century. This is a fun story, but it's typical of what we think of when we think politicians and power and stuff like that. So it just shows how long corrupt politicians have went back in time. All right, so the Duke of Cumberland, his name was Ernest Augustus. He was also the fifth son of King George III, and from all accounts was a big jerk.
Oh, what you gotta be like that for?
His behavior and general arrogance towards those around him made him one of the most unpopular men in all of London.
I just don't understand why somebody chooses to be like that.
Well, some people feel like that they're just better than everybody else, especially probably at a time like the 1800s, where some people had a lot of money and some people had no money.
And yeah, but don't you want to have friends?
Yeah, he had friends, other people with money.
Oh.
But that's the way the class system works.
That's not the right way. It shall not work that way.
That would be a perfect world if we could make that work. But
well, I'm trying to be a perfect world.
These feelings would turn to hatred after the mysterious death of his valet, a little Sardinian man by the name of Joseph Sellis.
A valet, like
servant. What's that? Servant.
Oh.
Yeah, he wouldn't park in his carriage for him.
That's what I was thinking.
Park my carriage, sir, while I eat here at Jeff Rubystone's or whatever.
At Bed Rock.
On the night of May 30th, 1810, which is a date that I'm actually was writing the story, believe it or not. Not 1810. I was writing the story, that part, on May 30th. I was
actually writing
on the anniversary.
You so crazy.
Ernest returned to his room of the palace late at night. He had spent the evening at a charity performance of Handel's Messiah. Now, Tracy, the events that are going to follow are subject to, we're going to say, much controversy, because according to Ernest's sworn deposition, he returned to his four-poster bed and went straight to sleep after this event. He was then awoken by two blows to his head.
Ow.
Still half asleep, he felt another two blows to the head. So he claims that it occurred to him that a bat somehow must have flown into his palace room and must have been banging up against his head. A bat.
Like an animal bat?
Yeah, the mammal.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. After the first two hits, I think I would have been wide awake, not still half asleep.
We don't know how hard it hit him. So even though there was a lamp burning in his room, which obviously is a lantern, Ernest said he didn't see the attacker.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled to get to a door that actually leads to an adjoining room where one of his other valets, a gentleman by the name of Cornelius Neal, was sleeping. Then Ernest says that he is struck in the thigh by the blade of a sword. Now, instead of retaliating, he yelled into Neil in that next room that there was a murderer in his room.
Well, that's not a very nice assumption.
Right. He hadn't murdered you
that's
yet.
That's right. Don't make accusations.
He's just an attacker at this point. The cry for help frightened the attacker, who then ran off through the second door, a door that should have been locked, by the way, but for some reason it wasn't. He fled into what they called the yellow room, which leads to the ballroom, into the armory, to the summer bedroom, through the dressing room, and into Joseph Sellis' room. I don't know how he's seen all this. I guess it must have just been straight.
I guess.
But that's what he says happens. Now, Cornelius Neal, he backed up all this, except he said that he heard no sound of a struggle. He was only awakened by Ernest opening his door and crying to Neil, "I am murdered." So he says, "I am murdered."
Oh, good grief.
I think that might be a slight exaggeration since he was able to say that.
Yeah, and if I would have been the other dude, I'd have been like, I wish you weren't a liar.
Yeah, I think you're drunk. So, he comes into the room. He finds a blood-stained sword. Now, he wanted to pursue the attacker, but Ernest told him, no, first I want you to wake up all the other servants and then accompany me to the porter's lodge so we can sound the alarm. I don't know what their alarm was, maybe a bell or something like that. Well, after the two went and did this, they returned back to Ernest's bedroom. And Ernest instructed Niels to find out where the attacker had been hiding. Seems a little odd.
Well, how would he know?
Well, it didn't take Neil long to find out what was going on, because inside of a closet, he found a lantern, a case for a sword, and a water bottle. Now, this was inside the closet of Ernest's room.
Mm-hmm.
But, more importantly, there was a pair of slippers with the name Celis handwritten on them.
Oh.
Any of this seem weird?
Yeah.
So, Joseph Celis's room was about 100 feet from Ernest, which I'm confused because they just said that this guy ran through 1,000 damn rooms to get to Ernest or to Celis's room.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying it's about 100 feet away. Was the guy zigzagging across the hallway?
It could have been, yeah.
Anyways, so I thought that was a little weird. They go in to Celis's room. It was there that they find a corpse. His throat had been slashed from ear to ear, so savagely that his head was almost completely severed from the body. His bed and linens were drenched in blood. More blood was smeared on the doors and the door frames between Ernest and Celis's room. On the floor of this room where Celis was found, there was also a straight razor, and across the room was a half-filled basin of water where someone obviously had tried to wash away blood. So what happened, Tracy? Well, this is what Ernest thinks happened. He gave his explanation. Celis tried to assassinate him, and then realizing what he had done, he went back to his room and took his own life.
No. Mm-mm.
You don't think that's what happened?
Well, how's he going to keep cutting his head till his head's almost off?
That's a good point.
Thank you.
An inquest was held, but they were not going to dispute the word of the Duke. Ernest was a free man. He would later go on to fight in the war against Napoleon, and in 1837 became King of Hanover. But doubt was always lingering about the verdict and Ernest's testimony. Key witnesses were not called to give their testimonies, and many important questions were not satisfactorily answered. For example, why would an assassin hide in a closet with a pair of slippers bearing their name?
Yeah, duh.
Also, why would the attacker facing an unarmed man throw down his weapon and flee after wounding the target? Wouldn't it have been an easy kill after that?
You would think it would be.
You would think so. It was also obvious that Ernest's wounds were nowhere near as serious as he had suggested. Apparently, the wound that he had on his thigh was barely...
Just like a nick?
Yeah, I mean, it was a wound, but it was not very deep or anything. And it just seems like that an assassin could inflict a little more damage on a sleeping target.
So he's truly an over-exaggerator.
Yes. Yeah, first he was murdered.
I know. Come on, dude.
Some assume that the Duke's injuries were self-inflicted in order to disguise what really took place there. The London public wasn't buying any of it. They believed that Ernest murdered Celis, and rumor and gossip started to spread like crazy around the London area. Rumors like the Duke had seduced Celis's daughter, getting her pregnant and Celis found out, or that Celis caught the Duke in bed with his wife. So did Ernest, with the help of Niels, silence Celis to shut him up.
Wow, what a hoe.
The rumors definitely weren't going away, and Ernest eventually took refuge abroad. So he had to get the hell out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Christmas Eve, 1815. Ernest's guilty conscience drove him to make a dreadful confession. You know that miserable business of Celis, that wretch? I was forced to destroy him in self-defense. The villain threatened to propagate a report, and I had no alternative.
Well, shouldn't be doing dirty deeds.
So here's the part that really starts factoring into this haunting. Because Celis was listed as a suicide, he was unceremoniously buried according to the rules of how suicides were handled at the time. This meant that he was buried at the dead of night at a place where three roads met and with no Christian funeral rites. He was buried in secrecy for fear that crowds would actually gather and cause trouble. The place where he was buried is close to what is now Sherlock Holmes Public House.
Okay. Wow. How did they... Well, I guess they would know where they buried him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I found this odd, but his corpse had a stake driven through it. A stake that had his initials written on it. This was apparently to make sure that his spirit stayed put because of him being a suicide.
Wow.
I guess that was something that maybe there was a fear back then. If you listen to the sightings over the years, apparently it didn't appear to have worked. Because people have been seeing him a lot.
Put a stake in me, will ya?
So the gruesome apparitions of Joseph Celis is said to haunt the St. James Palace even still today. He primarily appears in the room in which he died, his blood-drenched body lying on the bed just as it was discovered in 1810.
That's creepy.
He has a hideous gash in his throat. His mouth is hanging open in a terrible silent scream. He usually shows up on the anniversary of his death, which would have been, again,
May 30th.
The day I was writing this.
Wow. You can, like, picture that whole scene in your head, right?
Yeah, probably instead like this, of just being like, wide open, like maybe it's distorted or something. Yeah.
Like that.
I'm seeing it. It's not pretty.
You're just a wonderful husband.
Others have heard muffled shouts and sometimes even a violent struggle is heard.
Hmm.
This may be the most gross part. As the ghost wanders around the halls, they say that you can smell the sickly sweet stench of blood throughout the historic building.
Oh, no.
It is true, though. When there's a lot of blood around from something, you can't. It is.
Yeah, there is a kind of terrible smell.
So while Joseph Celis is the most famous haunter of the St. James Palace, he's not the only one. In fact, he's not even the oldest one.
No way. Got a little competition in there, does he?
That honor actually goes to a couple of young ladies. Well, they were young
at the time.
At one point.
Yeah.
But they were old when they died.
Yeah.
Now, this was during the 1600s. There was two apartments in the St. James, because remember, it was all apartments and stuff at that point. But two of these apartments were home to two certain young ladies. They had achieved considerable notoriety in the courts of King Charles II and Charles's brother and successor, King James II. The two ladies, one went by the name of Hortense Mancini.
Why?
Because that was her name. She was the Duchess of Mazarin.
Wow, I hope they didn't call her whore for short. How horrible. Hey, whore.
Anyway, she had been Charles's mistress. And then there was Madame de Beauclair. She was the mistress of James. And they had both been kicked to the curb for younger versions. But they still let them live in the apartment.
Yeah,
and they still took care of them. since they had a lot in common, we'll say, they forged a pretty good friendship that lasted the rest of their lives. They had many conversations over the years about, well, a bunch of topics, but one in particular came up more than others, and that was the subject of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
They made a pact with each other that whichever one passed first, they would come back and communicate with the other.
Oh, that's cool.
The first lady to actually pass was the Duchess of Mazarin. As she was dying, the two ladies confirmed their pact to each other. But days, weeks, even years had passed, and there was no sign from the other side.
Oh, no.
Whatever faith Madame Beauclair actually had in an afterlife vanished because of her disappointment, and she started to grow very skeptical. She eventually, and even bitterly, declared that there was no life after death. When she died, she felt sadly that there would be nothing afterwards, and this would just be the end of her.
Nothing to look forward to.
So a few months after this little declaration she made, a friend of de Beauclair received a message that said if she wanted to see her friend before death, she needed to come to the palace immediately. The friend had a cold and was not feeling very well herself, and being older, she felt that it may be just best to stay home. First of all...
Oh, quick. First of all, that's not what you both said, or that's not how it works. Right? She said to come...
This is a different friend.
Oh.
This is a different friend. This is one that's still alive.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, dead people don't get colds. I don't know if you know
that. Oh, that's right. Well, they could.
Now, you could initially say, dude, your friend's on her deathbed, and you don't want to go because you got a cold, you feel bad. But colds and stuff were different back then.
And especially if you're elderly, yeah.
All right, but she gets a second, more urgent message. This one was begging her to come. With this, she left with a gentleman friend of hers and made her way to St. James Palace. This gentleman made a written record of the events of that night. That's how we know what happened. They get there, truly expecting de Beauclair to be on her deathbed. You know, you have an image in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Literally in bed, probably,
in
and out. They were astonished to find her seemingly in pretty good health. But she assured them that she would be departing this life very soon. She said that even though she no longer believed in an afterlife, she had now changed her mind. She now knew that there was, in fact, an afterlife. Why, you ask? Because she had finally heard from her long-time dead friend, the Duchess of Mazarin.
What took her so long?
I don't know.
Maybe she thought, oh, I meant when we're both dead, we meet up somewhere. That's what I thought you meant.
She said she wasn't exactly sure how she entered the room, but she looked to the corner of the room, and she saw her standing right there in the corner. It took her a few seconds to register, but she said she looked just like she did in life. Her spirit kind of took a stroll around the room. De Beauclair said that it was more like she was swimming than walking. The spirit then stopped by the side of a chest. She looked at her and said, between the hour of 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. tonight, you will be with me.
Aww.
So just as she began to start asking questions, the spirit of her friend dissipated.
I wonder if she got her hair did and put her makeup on.
Don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Because she knew, might as well look good going out, right?
Possibly.
Fix the hair the way you want it.
Now, at this point of the evening, the midnight hour was rapidly approaching. Madame de Beauclair showed no sign of any illness whatsoever. But as soon as this entered their mind, she said, oh, my heart is sick. And she collapsed. They tried to render aid, but it was to no avail. Within 30 minutes, she was dead, dying precisely at the time that her deceased friend had predicted.
Oh. goodness.
There have been several reports since the 1600s of both of these young ladies primarily seen in their younger form.
Aww, but they were together. That is the sweetest.
It's kind of a cool story.
It's a very cool story.
Oh. Well, so let's do this. Let's take a quick sponsor break. And then we'll be back with all kinds of news. Trust me, this is not all, it's not our typical news. There'll be some of that, but there's some stuff that you'll be hearing for the first time. And then we will listen to Jackie.
Okie doke.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, let's start with some fun stuff. So first and foremost, Tracy and I have decided that it was time to bring another puppy into our life.
Well, we did, and we kind of went back and forth because we weren't sure. I know this sounds dumb. We didn't want to feel disrespectful, but it was maybe too soon for Ninja. But also, a lot of things kind of
Fell in our lap.
Plus, there were so many coincidences that we felt maybe like Ninja was leading us to this or making it happen for us. But it's so lonely. We are just so lost without Ninja around here.
I mean, even with Freddy, it's still not the same. Even with Freddy,
we love Freddy to pieces and we just love him. But with Ninja not here, it's like depressing. It's just been, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's been very depressing. So we kind of felt like this was okay and, you know, to go ahead and do this. So we're very excited. We wish we could have our little puppy now. So be prepared to, it's a girl.
We got to wait a couple of weeks because she's not completely weaned yet.
Yeah. And so be prepared to see our little girl puppy dressed up. We already got her the coolest little
collar.
It's like skull heads. But it has like a sequence, like a little glittery pink bow on its head. It is the cutest daggone thing. So I'm looking forward to that and introducing you guys to her. And hopefully she'll be a part of the show like Ninja was.
We put her some pictures. We got to go visit with her today.
Yes.
And we put her pictures up and we were asking for suggestions for names. And we got, man, that thing blew up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. There were
you guys
so
are
many,
so awesome. Yeah.
So many people. And we have decided to use the name Lily.
Yeah. Kind of goes, Lily Polly kind of goes together. And, you know, we think it was a good suggestion. All of them were good suggestions.
Yeah, there was a
because,
bunch.
Oh, we were like, oh my gosh, that would be so cute. Oh my gosh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there was a bunch of good ones. Lily feels right, though.
Yeah, but we appreciate you guys with your input on that because you are our family. You know what I'm saying? So everything that you guys do for us and say or whatever, we really take that to heart and we appreciate it because, you know, you guys mean that much to us. So we appreciate your input on that.
Also, let's go to some more fun stuff. TikTok. We have decided that we're going to make a conscious effort to put some videos up on TikTok on a regular basis. Now, some of these are like Hillbilly Dad Time stories that where we had the videos before. We just never put them on TikTok. So some of those are that. But Tracy and I are actually doing some original stuff that won't be heard anywhere else except on TikTok. So if you guys will go and follow us, Hillbilly Horror Stories on TikTok, you'll get some more content and help us build that page up.
Yeah. And we're still not that familiar with TikTok.
Yeah, so we're doing, and it's going pretty well right now.
Yeah.
But we're just throwing up some interviews and some older stuff and right now, but we are doing some original stuff that I think you guys will like. And it's not just us, pictures of us or something while the video plays. It's actually stuff that I'm taking some time with. And we're going to be working on getting some new video software to try to be able to do even more things.
Yeah.
So go tell your friends to subscribe, Hillbilly Horror Stories on TikTok.
Subscribe!
All right, so let's get into some other stuff. First of all, let's talk about a fun new live event that we just got working. Hillbilly Horror Stories and Justin Rimmel from Mysterious Circumstances has set up an event for September 2nd, that's Memorial Day weekend, at the Bell Mansion, the very historic and haunted Bell Mansion.
I know, we're so excited.
A former funeral home for 93 years.
Yep. You know there'll be all kinds of spirits hanging around up in there.
Yeah, it's right in downtown Fort Wayne. And we've had on Jeff Walker before to actually talk about the Bell Mansion. I think it was probably about a year ago. And we'll have some more people in the future. But here's the deal. This is where this is different than the other live shows. There's only 50 tickets available. But there's not even that now. Because they went on sale yesterday or day before yesterday. And we've already sold, like, I think, 6, 7, 8 tickets.
Yeah.
50 tickets is all we can do. Tickets are $75. But what you get... you get a tour of the Bell Mansion between 4 and 6. And then from 6 to 7 is a meet and greet with us and Justin. From 7 to 10 is a live event for the two of us. And then here's the kicker. From 10 till 2 a.m., an investigation of the Bell Mansion. You can bring your own equipment. There's some equipment there they let you use. And it's still not all. Tracy, myself, and Justin are going to spend the night in the Bell Mansion.
Holy crap.
And one of you who buys one of the 50 tickets will be able, we're going to do a drawing like we did for the Sally House. And we're going to do a drawing, and whoever we draw will be able to spend the night in the mansion with us, you and a friend. We don't expect you to do it by yourself.
Correct.
But like if you bring in a friend to the show, both of you get to spend the night. And they're going to, Justin, when it comes a couple of weeks before the event so people can plan it, Justin's going to actually go to the mansion, and he and Angie and the owner is. I'm not sure who it is. I think Angie might be the one that's going to do it, but they're going to draw the name up there at the mansion.
Oh, cool.
And video it.
Okay, great.
So, and then that gives people a couple of weeks to be able to make plans to spend the night and stuff like that.
Yeah. The more the merrier, please. When I say the more, I don't mean the ghost. I mean somebody human.
But yeah, that's cool because it's got your ticket gets you all that. All that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little higher than normal, but look at what you get. You literally have from 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. in the afternoon all the way up until 2 a.m. of stuff to do and maybe even longer if you get picked to spend the night.
Yeah.
And they probably won't kick you out by 11 a.m. I don't know that. Hotels do. In the morning. And I don't know if they're having a continental breakfast or not. I haven't asked. But it's going to be a blast. And there's only 50 seats available. Like I said, there's less than that now. Because we sold 6 or 8 tickets almost immediately.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
So tickets are available at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure.
With that being said, there's also tickets for 3 other events this year. And that's going to lead us into the next thing. But you've got Buffalo, suburbs of Detroit. I'm saying that because I don't want people to think it's inner city Detroit, because I think that scared some people away, whether it should or shouldn't. It has, because people said it. We're on the outskirts, as Kid Rock said, of Detroit Rock City. And actually, I think this place is actually sitting on a lake.
Oh, it's a beautiful
VFW post that sits on a lake.
Oh, yeah. Michigan's lakes
are
beautiful.
And it's costing us a pretty penny. So
yeah.
I know it's not your average VFW post.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that one coming up in... August. That's going to be our 7th anniversary show. That's with Brohio and Justin Rimmel. And also, right before that, we have the Buffalo show with special guest Tyler Allen from Minds of Madness. That's going to be a blast. And then at the end of the year, we're going to wrap things up September 30th on Tracy and I's anniversary. So only I would set up a show on our anniversary.
Hey, but that's how he does it every year, folks.
It's in Gatlinburg with Tony Merkel from The Confessionals. There's only 24 tickets left for that.
Oh, my gosh. That has been so successful. And we cannot wait to see you guys. We're so excited for every one of these shows. And I don't know. I just can't wait. And then I can't wait till the cruise. So yeah, we'll have that to look forward to.
All right. So let's talk about stuff that's not as positive. All right, so most of you know I had a medical episode back at the end of January, beginning of February. We haven't talked a lot about what's going on since then, but here's the reality. Doctor's visits haven't been as positive as we would have liked them to have been. There's options that need to be taken under consideration. One of those is going to take place with a procedure July 19th. Right after we get back from Buffalo, to where they're going to surgically implant a defibrillator into my chest. That is designed, as the doctor said, so if I drop dead, it can try to shock me back into life. The basics of it is my heart is not pumping at the level that it should be, and there is basically no hope of it getting any better. So what I've got is what I've got. When asked what I shouldn't do, the doctor basically just shrugged and said, just live your life. So that's a positive and a negative all at once. It's not exactly what you want to hear, that, man, there's nothing really else we could do. But the reality of it is, I don't know, just judging by what we're doing, we've had two live shows. Are we at three?
About this year?
Yeah. How many live shows we had? Three.
Three, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've had three live events. And I'll be honest with you, had it not been from the other shows really pitching in and helping on hauling this equipment up and setting it up and all that, I wouldn't have been able to do it. This is something I usually do primarily by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a struggle because I don't have the energy that I used to have. I have to pay somebody to cut my yard, and I don't have a big yard. It's to clean up a garage or something now takes me twice as long as it should be. The reality of it is I just physically don't have the ability that I used to have. And it makes it tough to, travel, you know, like we're going to Buffalo. That's a 9-hour trip for us, you know, to go to some of these places we went to, Dallas and what have you, 12, 13 hours away. I don't have it in me anymore to be able to just set up 5, 6, 7, 8 shows and travel and set all the equipment up. We have to load all this stuff in the vehicle. We have to set it all up when we get there, tear it all down at the end of the night. And it just takes a toll that I don't think of, even with help, I don't think I can continue doing. Obviously we've got stuff set up this year and we've got the crew set up next year. Those things are all going to stay intact. But we've had a serious discussion that I don't think we're going to do live events next year, with the exception of a conference or so, you know, CryptidCon. We just basically have to show up, set a little bit of stuff out, and those things are doable. So we'll still do CryptidCon next year. We'll still do the cruise next year. We may do one or two live events in, like, Louisville because it's just right up the road. And maybe like Indy or Cincinnati, but we're not going to do all these live events. We just can't. I wish we could. It's my favorite part of the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Is meeting everybody and doing all this. I've said in the past, we don't make money off these shows. We make a little bit, but it basically just covers the travel. And it sucks because the sales on tickets are up this year from what they usually had been the last couple mm-hmm. of years. That COVID thing was kind of over now, and people are more excited about it. So it would have been a good time to just start adding to it, to be honest with you. But instead, I think we have to do this. I don't want it, but it's the reality of there's a lot of stress to go into these shows. So it's not just the physical part of it; it's the stress of putting it all together. And selling tickets and all that stuff. And it's just...
The sad part for us is that we won't be able to meet as many of you all as we want. Because that has been the biggest blessing to us. We are hoping a bunch of you can come to our shows that we do have set up. We're hoping...
The Buffalo and Detroit show are both in areas we've never been before of the country. So I think that's a good thing that we can actually meet a lot of people that we haven't had a chance to come to some of the other shows. So I'm excited about that. And then, like I said, we've got the show in Gatlinburg. So we've got three... And then the show we just set up in Fort mm-hmm. Wayne is technically a part we haven't been to. So we've got four shows left this year. That may very well be the end of it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So,
well, we're hoping that we have a lot of more people. We've had a lot of people sign up for the cruise, which we're very excited about. But at the end of the day, as much as we love this traveling and stuff, we really do, Jerry's health has to come first. And that's what matters to me. And I'm sure that you guys understand and want nothing, you know. Y'all just want the best for Jerry. And it's been a very stressful time since his thing in January. And literally, I just worry sick about him every day. He has taken it easy, but it's just really been hard. So I hope you guys just understand. And I just want him to be with us as long as he can. So anyway, go ahead, babe.
All right. With that being said, we got 4 shows left this year. I hope you guys can make it out. We can meet as many people as possible. And then, like I said, we'll see what the future holds and maybe do a show or two that's at least close. And maybe we just do one big event like the cruise every year and just make it happen. But that's where we're at. I was hoping it wouldn't get to that point, but 3 shows in this year, it's obvious that it's not something I can maintain.
Yeah, but we still will do our podcast and hope you guys can hang with us. And yeah, we just want you all to know how much we love you and appreciate you so much.
Yes. And with that being said, something I'll throw in because I really haven't mentioned it on this show. You know, Amanda and I had done a show for a while that we had to quit last year because of contract obligations I had called Warning You Would Be Offended. It wasn't for everybody. There was a lot of people who loved it. It had a nice little cult following. And hell, it's got 118,000 listens, even though we only did 60 episodes. But we decided, now that we are no longer under that contract negotiations or obligations, I should say, that Amanda and I are starting another podcast. The first episode will be the 7th of June, so this coming Wednesday. It is not like Warning. This is something for everybody. It is, if you listen to this show, and I know you do or you wouldn't be hearing this, if you listen to this show, we do something on Saturdays called Macabre Misfortunes where I tell Tracy a story. She doesn't know it, and it's usually got some kind of a twist to it. And that's what this is going to be. It's actually called Wickedly Weird with Jerry and Amanda. And it's me telling her a story that's got a strange twist. And it can be anything from true crime to paranormal to UFO abductions, whatever. But they're all going to be crazy. We've already got 2 episodes recorded. They're not up yet. But I think this will be something that most of you will like because it's not as offensive. There's not a lot of cursing. There's still some, but it's not something I think would people would be turned off by. So go subscribe today so you can hear there is a little quickie episode up there right now just to get people in touch. But if you listen to that and you're unsubscribed now because, you know, you forgot about it and we just weren't doing it anymore, understandable. But go back and if you're already subscribed to Warning, You Will Be Offended, we changed the name so you don't have to do anything else. Just start looking. You don't have to subscribe. But if you're not subscribed and you want to give it a listen, Wickedly Wild with Jerry and Amanda. And on top of that, we're not taking down all the old Warning episodes. So they're still up there because we still got people listening to them every single day.
That's good.
We hadn't done one in a year. But they'll still be up there. But if you get offended easy, don't go listen to that. Just start when the new ones start on Wednesday.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, Tracy. The cruise is still going on next September. Go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com. That's where you can get tickets to all these shows and the cruise. All right, sorry, that was a long intermission.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
All right, let's listen to Jackie. All right, Tracy, what do we got going on with iTunes and stuff over there?
All right, we have Hot Tub Girl, Mojo Lobster, Andrew, and Annoyed to the Bone. Thank you guys for your awesome reviews. We appreciate them so, so much and look forward to them every week. Our Patreon, we have Mark, and then we have Karen. Thank you guys so much for your support. We appreciate y'all so much, and thank you guys for everything you do for us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. We love you. Hey, guys. I've got a fun guest on with you tonight. I have got Jackie. She lives up in the Indianapolis / Lebanon area, and this is where we had our live show at. She actually is the manager of the Boone County Jail Distillery, And she actually set all this up. She approached us at CryptidCon back in November and said, hey, I got a cool place. And one thing led to another. And Jackie is a fan of the show. She's listened for quite a while. So everything just kind of came together. And we put this great event together that everybody absolutely loved. And Jackie, as we were talking, obviously you're going to tell us some history of the actual jail, of maybe some of the prisoners and kind of the, some of the stuff that went on. And how you guys now run a distillery out of it, but you've also got some paranormal stories from the place, and I'm going to let you tell us all that. So first of all, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. As you're saying, huge fan of the show, and it's been just an absolute blast getting to be a part of this and show off our building a little bit. So our jail originally opened in the 30s. It was actually the second jail built in the same location. So it was kind of neat. The original was demolished. It kind of looked more like a house than anything. And this one was built in the 30s, sat there until the 90s, and was an active jail until then. And then the Stoller family purchased it, and they have made it into this fun distillery that will be actually hopefully open to the public again this fall, so they can actually come and eat and drink in the old jail cells that have been renovated. They have completely renovated this building. It's really cool.
You know, what was really cool is the fact that, you know, as in jail cells, people have a tendency to write and draw on the walls and that type of thing. And the family just pretty much, instead of getting rid of all that, they just made frames and put frames around them. So there's frames all over these walls that some of them are diagonal, you know, diamond shaped. And it just depends on which way the artwork is drawn. But it's kind of cool that they kind of left all that original prisoner artwork, so to speak. And well, at least the stuff that, you know, is family friendly and put frames around it.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that was family friendly was framed and is good to see. And they tried to do a lot of that kind of stuff. And we actually made a case of all these things they found during the renovations. Everything from rations from the 60s when some of the Cold War era stuff was going on. Crackers that, you know, are still sealed in these tins, and giant containers for water, and then even to a shank that had been shoved down in these pipes that when they gutted some of the old sinks, it was down in there, and people just think that's the funniest looking thing. So they've saved all this stuff, so it's really cool just to see that side of it alone. But it's definitely an amazing building.
Now, the side that we were on, the jail part of it, that was actually a restaurant at one point in time up until COVID, correct?
That is correct. When the Stollers originally purchased the building, they did the renovations, and the jail site itself had been completely renovated to a bar / restaurant. And then the downstairs had been done into the distillery. When COVID hit, that side completely shut down to the public and has not been open since, up until we did this podcast. So you guys were actually the first people in 3 years that we've really even had in there. So we were just over the moon to have you guys. It was really cool. And it was just so fun to see that. So we've kind of revamped how we're going to be opening that side. It's going to be more for just the tasting and the experience of the products that we make there. And the focus will be more on what we're doing inside that jail as opposed to the food, which is kind of nice. So it'll revolve around the products that we make, which is really cool.
Tell me about the time as a prison there. Tell me about maybe some prisoners. I know you haven't had like big names like Al Capone there or anything, but tell me about some of the prisoners that might have gone through there and how they would have handled things.
So we do have a few fun stories. As a matter of fact, one of the town fire inspectors was a active guard when this was still a prison back in the 90s. And some of his stories are fantastic because we see him from time to time. And he even showed us where he lost part of his finger cleaning his gun down in one of our rooms. He was more mortified at the possibility of losing his job than he was losing his finger. So
right.
Luckily he kept his job and they found most of his finger. So if you see him, he'll say, "Give me four." He's hilarious. So a couple of things. The room that we actually did the podcast in, we had a rather notorious man staying in there. And so at the time, the upstairs had a cage that the inmates were being held in, and then the outside had a catwalk for the guards and the inmates. No, just for the guards. The guards had a set of doors that they were to come through, shut that door behind them, and then the door for the cage was to be opened so they could get the trash, they could get an inmate, whatever they needed to do. Well, this new young guard thought that he would save some time and open this gate. When he did, he was rushed by a inmate, and the inmate proceeded to beat up this guard, was trying to get the keys to get onto the next room, trying to escape. In the process, he woke up a rather notorious hitman from the area, and the hitman went and proceeded to beat the ever-living daylights out of this inmate that had just woken him up, and was more upset that he had been woken up. And then he proceeded to go back to his bed and lay back down. So the jailer was very, very fortunate. No one escaped. The jailer was a little battered, but wiser for the wear. And they were able to get everybody back in bed and safe and sound and all for the love of a good night's sleep. So definitely an interesting tale in that one. And we do have a tunnel that connects us to the courthouse from our basement distillery. It's more just for the plumbing. It's not really made to walk through. It stands about 3 feet by 3 feet. Definitely not fun to be upright in.
Yeah, well, Tracy could do it, though.
Tracy would be great. So, yes. Back in the 70s, there was a motorcycle gang that had one of their higher-ups that had been captured, and he was awaiting trial, and there was rumors of him being broken out by this motorcycle gang, and it had become so scary and so problematic that for the sake of the guard, for the sake of the inmate, they actually quote-unquote walked him from the distillery tunnel to the courthouse, which, you know, 3 feet, they're pretty much kind of bent halfway over walking the whole length of this tunnel. It's the only documented case that we have of anyone using the tunnel that way. I personally wouldn't want to do it, but they did. So and luckily, they got everyone there, and he did his time, and you name it. But definitely some fun stories that way. Speaking of Tracy, bless her heart, I think she's one of the only people that could probably sleep comfortably in our isolation room. So, right. They were intentionally made to be too small for a full-grown adult to lay comfortably. And no toilets. They were just a hole in the floor and definitely dark and cold, and it's the one place in the building I don't like to stay long. So, you know, we kind of clean in there and get the heck out. definitely a heavy feeling in there. Kind of fun. But had some fun ones.
So while we're on the subject of, since we're kind of starting to ease in that direction, tell me about some, we'll say, paranormal experiences, for the lack of a better word, because obviously nothing's proven. But let's just say, tell us about some experiences you had that are unexplainable.
Well, we've had a few. Definitely some strange happenings. So the owners of the building live out of state. And I myself am the only other one that has keys to the upper part of the building, the jail. So when we are down in the basement area, actually doing the distillation, we can hear on occasion, twice that I can tell you, the catwalk cell door slam, which is extremely heavy. And
yes, it is.
Yes, and it is loud, which is interesting because the only person that would have access to that would be a guard, because it's the catwalk that they would actually be able to go completely around the inmates themselves. And then from there, they would have access to the light bulb that would be shown into the cell, as well as get water buckets and things like that. It also housed the plumbing and the pipes and things that would heat the cells. So there's really no reason why that would go slam like that. But I tell you, it takes some weight to push it. It's very heavy. So when we hear that, we're just, we don't go upstairs for a while. So we've had that one. We've also been standing in a hallway before when we had a milk crate slide from one room where we were standing. That was kind of an interesting one. And we just kind of put it back and turned the lights off. And like, no, that needs to stay in here tonight. But I think my all-time favorite has to be the day that we were completely done cooking. We'd gotten the bourbon mash into the fermentation tanks. We cleaned everything up and we just finished mopping the floor. And I come up the stairs and I realized I'd left the fermentation tank light on. And so I had to cross down the stairs and into the back room. And as I was going, there were dried bare footprints on the floor that I had just mopped. And I was more upset that they'd taken their shoes off on my floor that I had just mopped. I was like, who's down here? You know, so it took me a minute. And then I realized I was the only one left in the building. And I was like, okay, you know, just put your shoes back on, please. And, you know, that's not sanitary what we're doing here. So we turned the lights off and away we went. So, you know, we have some little things where some stuff gets kind of moved around. We've definitely had some funny things where pictures have been kind of misplaced. And by misplaced, I mean like on opposite sides of the walls by the time we come back and you name it. But definitely nothing ever malicious. It's definitely always been kind of more of a teasing thing or just kind of following around, seeing what we're doing. I think they like the fact that we were making booze for them. So it's good.
Nice. Can't beat that.
Right? I'm sure they made some themselves back in the day. Good.
Pretty sure. So
yeah.
Tell me a couple of funny stories from the distillery side. I know you were telling me one the other day about one particular incident that you had. I'll let you share it.
Oh, my gosh. So we do have some mishaps from time to time. We kind of all live in rain boots because, being a distillery, you're transferring things constantly. You're cleaning the floors, you name it. Well, I think my absolute favorite thing when we're cooking is, to watch the fermentation. It's beautiful. It's really cool. It kind of looks like the blob. It's amazing. They just do these crazy things. And every batch does something different. But corn is a whole different animal. When it settles, it kind of just becomes like a log. It doesn't break down easy. It doesn't want to move easy. It just clogs in the lines. So in order to kind of get it broken down enough to get it stirrable and able to transfer easily in and out of these lines, I often take the water hose lines and I'll force a really powerful stream of water into the bottom of the tank, and that'll break up some of that corn enough to get it going. Well, in doing so,
sounds like an enema.
Exactly, a big corn enema. Oh my gosh. In doing so, not only did I completely blow corn onto our ceiling, but I baptized myself in it, my team. I mean, we had corn coming out of our ears for days. It was amazing. So there is just no way to stay clean when you do this job. But it is the most fun in the coolest building. And you know, the fact that we're making the products in this building and the fact that we've got some weird stuff that happens, it's just really amazing. You never know what you're going to get. You could have a ghost, you know, knock something over, or you could come home with corn in your shoes. It's great.
So I don't know a lot about the process. I didn't get a chance to take a full tour. We did a really quick tour the first time we came, but
yeah,
you know, so tell me a little bit about the process. So like, for example, the corn that you use, is this mm-hmm. like a dry corn that comes in a bag that like you would feed to chickens or something? Or is this a wet corn when you get it? Is it, you know, like popcorn? What, how's the corn?
So it's actually completely milled. And what's really cool is we actually do it right there in Boone County. In Boone County, we have one of 13 in the United States certified people to do this. It's really, really cool. So when we're saying that it's made here in Indiana, it's all made in Boone County. It's local grain. It's local farmers. It's actually made and milled by the area guys. And it's awesome. So most of our stuff is made directly here. You know, some of our botanicals and things do have to come from, you know, some of the grain is coming from Indiana. So that's really incredible. And what's even more fun about doing some of this work is once the alcohol has been cooked out of it, you can actually take that spent cook and let the liquid drain, and then it's fed to animals as a protein, nutrient, gluten, and things. It can be added to other feeds. We can still give back to the community that way. As a matter of fact, some of our girls that even work for us that own cattle and things, they take it and they get to mix it in with their grain and feed. And so we try and give back to the community and things that way as well. So it's really cool to be able to sustain a little bit more and be a little bit more environmentally friendly too. It's good. So, yeah.
How long does it take? The process in general, I'm sure it's different for different products, but in general, when you get a batch, when you open the corn up and put it in to start the process, how long is it typical from start to finish?
So fermentation does vary a little bit. If you're working on a corn, typically I can get a 300 gallon batch within about a week. But if we're going to make bourbon, it's going to take me at least a week to make one 53-gallon barrel because the process is so different and the refining is so different. Basically, when we do bourbon, we cook three 300-gallon cooks, and then each one of those will get its own fermentation cook, and then the collection of those three will get its own single fermentation cook. And or distillation, and then once it's had that, it'll go into the barrel. So it's amazing. You basically have to cook it four times to get one barrel out of it. But they also are going to yield a lot more time and money in the end. I mean, a barrel's got to age at least 4 years before it's bourbon. So whereas the corn, you know, you can cook it and a week later it's ready to bottle. So definitely a different process.
So when you make bourbon, you pretty mm-hmm. much know you're not getting, you're pretty much just fronting everything for at least 4 years. You're not getting anything out of it for 4 years.
Correct. Yeah. And sometimes it could be 4 years and it's not how you want it. And so you wait and wait and wait until it is. Some say it's better when you wait. Some say, oh, you know, 4 years is still in bourbon. You got to wait 8 years, you know. So it all comes down to the palate and what people prefer. Ours start at 4 years, and we've got some that are going up to 8 years right now and counting. So definitely it all just depends. We actually are working on one right now. It's a toasted bourbon, and that is completely different. It takes those 4-year barrels, and we blend those together, and then we put them in a different barrel and let that sit for a year, and then we dump them together. I mean, it's just incredible what they can do and finish. And what's even more fun is you can take the exact same batch of alcohol and put it in two different barrels, and they'll taste 100% different by the time they're done aging. It's just incredible what the wood can do and the flavors they can pick up. And yeah, it's so much fun to talk about them and taste them and smell them, and the things that they can do. Just the air fluctuations and pressure and temperature will change everything. It's really neat.
How many products do you guys carry approximately?
Oh, my Lanta. So we carry a range of everything from absinthe to bourbon to gin to moonshines. We've got quite a few of those. We also have some cream products that are a lot of fun, root beer and a maple cream, beautiful. We also have ready to come back out in the honey, and we're experimenting with some maple products and things. So we've got a bunch more in the works. And then, you know, always expanding too. So yeah, there's a handful of them. But you can always go to our website and type in your address. It'll also show you where the nearest provider is. We're currently in 17 states, and in the next 2 years, we should be in all 50 states.
Nice. You mentioned absinthe. What, tell people what exactly that is if they're unfamiliar.
Well, if you like black licorice, you will love it. If you don't, you will not. It is a very high proof sipping drink. It's a botanical drink. It's very, very strong, but it's very sweet. It's very fun to, it's very fun to try. A lot of people do it with a sugar cube. And if you've ever seen the movie Moulin Rouge, it's the green fairy drink. A lot of people, typically associate absinthe with, oh gosh, being banned back in the day or being illegal. It wasn't really ever illegal. It just basically came out about the same time prohibition was having issues, but it was illegal in Europe at the time because a lot of people were doing things to get that green color. And in doing so, they were poisoning people. And basically, if you put too much wormwood in it, you're going to get those hallucinogenic properties. And that's also going to give you that nice green color. So people were kind of overshooting themselves, trying to give you that color and causing issues. But basically, it's just a fun botanical drink that it's very, very popular in Europe, and it's just a nice, I don't know, it's just kind of a nice one to try. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know at one time, like especially in like New Orleans and some of the other places, they had bars that's all they were. They were absinthe bars. And, yeah. You know, so it's, I'd imagine that's probably still where it's most popular today.
Absolutely. If you're a gin drinker, you would probably enjoy it. There are different versions that are heavier on certain botanicals, but a proper one would have fennel and anise and just a lot of these very grainy, earthy tones. They're a lot of fun. So it's definitely an interesting one to try, but the history of it's very, very cool. Definitely worth a good read. So, yeah.
Jackie, it was a blast having you on. It was a blast working with you on this project. Can't wait to do it again. Tell everybody the website to go to if they want to learn more about Boone County Jail Distillery.
Absolutely. You can always go to BooneCoJailDistillery.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And we've, of course, got our own website. Again, you can always type in your address. And if you have any questions, you can always give us a call. There's 99% of the chance you'll either get Nikki, myself, one of us. We'd love to address your questions however we can. But thank you so much for having me, Jerry. And we can't wait for the next adventure. It's good.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jackie. I appreciate it.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, that wraps it up for this week. I hope you enjoyed our little trip over to London and enjoyed Jackie's little chat. She is such a bundle of energy.
She sure is. We enjoy her so much. And we hope you guys have a very blessed week. We love you.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on your gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on December 2nd. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here.